and let's take introductions. My name is Bill Orester. Of course, I'm the vice chair. I worked very hard in that position.
Well, I wonder if people in the back aren't hearing you. I'm going to walk back here and tell them.
Yeah. Meeting started.
That's why we need your.
Can you hear me?
Hey, Carlos.
No.
Yeah.
That's Bob Burns. You know what? My mentee is going to be out of town for a month in June.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. So you would left a message about the.
But then
changing the date.
Well, so, no, the meeting started.
The meeting started?
Yes.
Yeah, we're supposed to. Barbara's somewhere between here and there. And so,
so Bill, congratulations.
How do you like that?
Yeah, you see, if you knew it'd pay off, if you bided your time.
I knew it'd pay.
Well, now he knew he had to make him work at least one time before.
We can sell Barbara out and.
Tape is running.
Oh, okay. Tape is running. Okay, Bill, take her away.
Okay, call to order. And we'll take introductions. My name is Bill Orester, and vice chair, hard worker. And go to my left.
I'm Darryl Walla, newly appointed commissioner. Happy to be here.
Bob Burns from Omaha.
Nancy Altman from Hastings.
Pearl Van Zandt, director of the commission, Lincoln.
Hubert Paulson, doing the tape recording.
Bill Brown, I'm a business manager for the commission.
Wes. I'm Wes Majerus from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Carlos Cervan, deputy director for the commission, VR services.
I'm Mary Susan Orester, Lincoln.
Patosh Floyd, director of the Technical Orientation Center, Lincoln.
And Bob, would you introduce yourself? Mr. Deaton?
Yeah, Bob Deaton from Lincoln.
That's everyone right now.
All righty, thanks for coming, and we'll try to hustle the meeting along if we can. Item one would be the first indicate that if you want tapes of the meetings, you may get them from the commission. Give you a couple of days of entertainment if you want to do that. But they'll gladly give you a set. Okay, moving on to the minutes. Are there any corrections or additions to the minutes?
No. Make a motion to accept.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? They're based on the permanent file. Focus topic. Now, who is in charge of that this morning?
Okay, let me get down who. I'm taking some quick notes for, let's see.
Because I know nothing about our focus topic.
Right, hang on a moment.
Do you know what
it is? No, this one's too.
Yeah, it's about the
it's budget.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know that. But
yes, okay, now the budget, the focus topic today is kind of two-part. Bill Brown is going to answer questions for you that you might have about the budget itself. And at 9:30, Sahar Husseini will be in to do some very basic training on how to navigate around spreadsheets, how to use spreadsheets, just for reading spreadsheets. It'll be obviously in a group setting, in a public meeting, we have to keep it very simple. But she will be in at 9:30 to do that. And I hope that you all received the document about how we do the budget and all the how our budget office works from Bill Brown. And so at this point, we can open it to Bill to make some comments, or if you all want to start with your questions, that'll work too.
Well, thanks a lot, guys, for giving me an opportunity to to talk to you a little bit about this. Obviously, this is a major issue with us at all times, the budget and how things fit in with our priorities. I did send out a note. Excuse me. I did see primarily nodding of heads as far as folks receiving that document. You did get the document, I assume, and get an opportunity to read through it, I hope?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I did.
I'll just start by saying that as the business manager, it really is my job to be kind of the custodians of the program, if you will, and trying to match the funding of the agency, the monies that are appropriated by the legislature to the priorities that the program has. And that's what I feel is kind of my basic priority. And I don't know how exactly everybody feels we do that. Sometimes we do that better than others. Sometimes, usually we have a lot more priorities than we have funding, if you will. But I tell you what, I've been extremely impressed with the staff at the commission in terms of their ability to work the program so that we can, in fact, cover all our bases. As you all know, we went through a real difficult time last fall trying to deal with some significant decrease in income and revenue to our program with some federal grants leaving and a private grant leaving. And so we had to do a lot of soul searching as to what was important to the agency and what was there was nothing that wasn't important to the agency. It was kind of one of those things where sometimes we all have to make choices, and it's easy when choices that you make are where there's a good option and a bad option. Those are easy decisions to make. The trouble is when you have to make decisions between two good options. And our staff did a wonderful job last year trying to take the bull by the horns and put ourselves in a position so that this year we weren't in a spot where we were going to look down the barrel of a gun with no funding and lots of expenses. Do you folks have any questions of me?
Yeah, I do. I have some. Now, how does the you know, the, where you write the checks? Is there just one account, or the how are checks written? And you know, like when the grant money comes in and all that, is there separate accounts then that are set, and that money is you know, explain how when grants and you know, just the different pools of money, or is there, or how that works?
Okay. Let me talk, and we'll talk a little bit on the revenue side at this point rather than expenditures, because when you start mixing revenue and expenditures and you talk about funding, it gets really confusing, okay? And you have, it's a similar process, but I have a real bad tendency of starting to talk about the budget, and sometimes you talk about the money that comes in, and sometimes you talk about the money that goes out. So let me talk in terms of the grants, like you were saying, Bob. The grants come to us from the federal government, and actually we never see them. All of our money is exchanged, checks are written, if you will, through state accounting. We have a computer program that allows us to input information. We receive confirmation of receipts of those grants, if you will, from the federal government. Right now we receive five federal grants. The first one is the basic support grant, which is about 80%, very roughly 80% of all of our money, okay, as a basic support grant. We receive an older blind grant from the federal government, and we receive a state independent living grant from the federal government. That state independent living can be used for people that are of all ages, if you will. We also receive a supported employment grant for people with very severe disabilities. We also receive a grant for in-service training. And the feds ask us to account for those. You know, those all have to be kept in separate pots of money, okay? They're all, we receive them from the federal government, so the funding itself is federal money, but they all have to be kept in separate checking accounts, if you will, okay? But the state of Nebraska gives us the facilities to be able to set up those checking accounts, and that's kind of what I do. And it also then becomes important for us to make sure that we know when we, when bills come in to be paid, we have to tell, we use numeric coding to basically tell what checking account those expenditures need to be made from. Does that make any sense?
And so, it once that account, I mean, you know, you just have one checkbook though, right?
Checkbook is not a real good word to use. Yes, we only have one source of places to write checks, if you will. The state printing office writes checks. But there's really only three of us actually that are in the account that actually can authorize or approve checks to be written and sent off, yes.
So you send an authorization to the state county department, and then they cut the check.
That's correct.
And then do you tell them, because, you know, where, which, I guess my ultimate question is, you know, in a regular person, your account gets to zero and you send a check and it bounces. The state, when they write a check, do you have to have it identified where the amount is coming from at the time you authorize the check to be written, or is that a separate process?
Actually, no, that's part of the process too. And obviously, our fiscal year runs from October, or the federal fiscal year runs from October through September. So in September, yes, it does get, September and October especially, it does get a little hairy in terms of trying to make sure that there's still some money left to cover those checks that we have to authorize at the end of the year.
Now, occasionally, you know, when things are getting real tight, there's kind of like a trust fund or some kind of reserve fund. Is that what's the correct definition of that?
We do have a trust fund. That's correct. And it's not something that the state actually, the state has really no control over. They have authorized us to have it, and we have to have authorization by the state to have it exist, if you will. But we do have a trust fund. That is correct.
And where did the money come to get into? How does money get into that fund, and where did it come from originally? And
primarily, the money that is in there has accumulated over 25 years. That money comes from donations. Money comes from memorials. There's a significant memorial that came a number of years ago from the K.D. Robinson Foundation, or it was a memorial that came to us. We also have the monies that we receive from private entities, like right now we're working with NFB. They have provided us with a grant, and it's a grant from a private entity that goes into the trust fund also.
Helen Keller.
And Helen Keller, that's correct. The grant that we had from Helen Keller went into the trust fund. And so, but again, like the NFB grant and the Helen Keller grant, those monies were pretty specifically earmarked for specific activities.
Now, it's a trust fund, so where is the trust money at?
It's in the state treasury.
Okay, so it's still the state treasury.
Yes, correct.
And then who's the trustee on that account?
Pearl is, or the commission is.
Okay. And do you know how much money is in that account right now?
We have three, actually. One is, our general trust fund has about $180,000. The trust fund for the mentoring grant, that has about $10,000 or $15,000 in it, I think, right now. And the grant that we received from the Enrichment Foundation here last couple of months ago, that one has $5,500 in it right now.
So those specific ones are earmarked, but the general, then that's just available for the commission's discretion.
Well, I'd like to jump in here. This is Pearl. The funds, now you, what I, my perception, Bill, is I think a little different from what you're saying, but maybe I wasn't hearing you correctly, so correct me if I'm wrong. The state treasurer still considers that the funds that are in the trust fund of our account are still state money.
That's correct.
Once they come into the state treasury, whether it's for the commission or anything else, it is state money. And so is federal, the federal grants for that matter, when they come into the account that the state has for us. And so, yes, we have some discretion in terms of setting programs and what we're going to spend money on, but it still has to go in accordance with state regulations, and like we can't use treasury money to do something that is somehow prohibited by state regulations.
That's right.
It's not entirely, you know, just...
Right. We still have to follow within the state accounting guidelines in order to spend the monies. Things like buying alcohol. We could not buy alcohol with trust fund monies because alcoholic beverages are prohibited by state law.
Right. If we were going to have a banquet...
Yes.
For employers. We
but the prohibitions are just, you know, small numbers of types of things. I mean, so if this, the 180,000, for instance, in the general account, I mean, as far as if, for instance, I don't know, just say something. Say you wanted to buy a $10,000 device, then what would be the process of spending that money?
Okay, Bill, why don't
you? That would, again, it would require Pearl's approval, and we would just process, we could do something like that. As long as we're not talking about something that's in conflict with state accounting rules themselves.
And what could possibly be in violation of state accounting rules?
Primarily.
I mean, like if Pearl wanted to give me $10,000, that's probably not proper.
Even that, if there was some consideration, that's a possibility. But again, if we decided to do something like. Every time, well, let's just say people go out of town for lunches, okay, or go out of town for on trips, okay.
Right.
State accounting rules say we cannot pay for lunches for one day travel, okay. That's just it's an IRS regulation. It's part of the state accounting rules. I don't believe that we could, like, say, you know, the commission will pay for all one day travel lunches. Because we have this trust fund.
It still has to
fall within the state accounting rules, if you will.
So things just that the state won't pay for, that can't be used to pay for those kinds of things. But that aside, Pearl, I guess, as current trustee, you'd have discretion to use it on anything that was appropriate and not in violation of the rules. Okay.
That's right.
That's correct.
Now, how did it, you know, one of the original rationales for beginning the Friends of the Commission was, it seems to me like there was some kind of bequest or contribution or something that it would seem like that for some reason the commission couldn't take the money, and so that there was, that's why the Friends of the Commission, one of the reasons it was set up. So it sounds like this trust fund would be something that people could make bequests to or gifts to.
Yes, that was I'm not going to be able to say the term right now, but the donor was still living and wanted to have an arrangement, an agreement, a trust of some sort set up whereby we wouldn't get the funds until later, or we get a portion of funds. I'm really sorry, I can't think of that.
Well, I suppose that maybe they don't get a tax deduction. It's not a charity, since it's not a 501c3, wouldn't get a charitable deduction.
No, because we are tax exempt as a state entity. So yes, you can get a tax deduction from the donation that you make to the commission.
Yeah.
But it had to do with whether or not the person could indicate how it was to be spent, or how it would work exactly. I'd have to look that up to get you the correct, but the state treasurer at that time told us very clearly, if they give that money to the commission, it is state money, and it will be used as the state sees fit. That's kind of the bottom line, but I know that's not.
Could the state, this money in the commission trust account, could the state use it?
No, but they could say, well, we can decrease the general funds we give to the commission.
Oh,
that's the kicker.
Have they ever done that or considered that?
Well, whether they've considered it, I can't tell you. But it is a little bit of a, I won't use the word threat, but it is a consideration that is out there, that we've had to, you know, just be conscious about.
Yeah, this is Carlos. Especially for matching funds, I guess they could say, well, the next 2 years we don't have enough money, you could use your trust fund to attract federal matching.
So it almost sounds like a reason to use the money and not let it build up too much, because
exactly,
it's a tempting target for them.
Now, I was assigned to the Department of Roads, and they have all kinds of property. They have farms and just all kinds of property that the public doesn't know about. Suppose somebody wanted to donate a house to the commission, and the commission decided, gee, this would be really good for our training and so forth. How do you account for that kind of money? Fair market value, or?
Gosh, Pearl, that's been...
Want me to jump in there?
Yeah, please.
I can't remember the term that I was looking for a minute ago. It's living trust was the term that this one family was looking to set up. And Bill, your example's good. We also had another family in western Nebraska that was very interested in handing over their ranch to us. But they had a lot of stipulations, and they wanted that we would not be allowed to sell it for 30 years. Well, so it might be a lovely nest egg down the road. They ended up, you know, not really following through with that, which is fine. But they were definitely considering it. But if someone willed us their house, their property, if we felt we had a, you know, maybe that'd be a perfect place to have our center or our administrative offices, then we would just own it like we would own a building. This agency doesn't own any buildings, but the state can own, you know, buildings. So we could do that. That would be an option. The other option would be to sell the thing, and then it would have to be at fair market value. And then we could use those funds for our programs.
Now, there is another little stipulation to all of that too, though, in that the governor, we have to have permission from the governor to accept gifts over $10,000 or donations over $10,000. And actually, there's pretty good reason for that, although, you know, most of us wouldn't like to. Again, it's kind of like the ranch situation. We're not ranchers, okay, and we can't sell that property. under the stipulations. Well, who's going to manage that piece of property? And who's going to withstand any losses if there are losses incurred in the property? Again, we aren't necessarily, we aren't going to realize the income from this maybe for another 30 years. And so if there was a loss, the state treasury would have to come up with the losses. And they have to, they weigh those kinds of considerations out there as to whether or not they would be willing to accept such a donation, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Bill, one of the, you know, obviously the auditors, when they came in, you know, thought the commission board needed to be more involved in, you know, the receiving the numbers and such. How, if say the commission was part of HHS, how, you know, I mean, you got the business manager, and Pearl, the director, and the state, you know, who would be looking at the numbers, and in what way different than they are, you know, as we now are? What, you know, the commission board, I mean, can get the numbers and receive them, but who in HHS, say, if it, when the commission was in HHS, how would it work?
If you know, I'll give my opinion here. Pearl can chime in, but well, I think one of the good parts could be really one of the bad parts, but one of the good parts of being a commission, I believe, is the fact that all of our finances are kind of within a 3 or 4 person cluster in our administration. So Pearl has hands-on information immediately. One of the issues, I think, when we started here in 2000 was that there were all kinds of much more brilliant human beings in HHS than I am, okay? But those folks were all had little slices of the financial piece, the budget, the paying bills, the reporting to the feds, the long-term strategic planning, the working with the accounting system and the grants. They have sections of people that work with all those things. But I think one of the things that we found out quite when we first started was that they, in a perfect world, they would communicate very fluently and very, very fluidly with each other, and everybody would know what's going on. But I think that was kind of one of the issues that we ran into. In fact, we ran out of money, and by the grace of the good Lord, received us about $90,000 worth of Social Security money the last week in September, the year that we started, and then Voc Rehab gave us some money too. But anyway, I think that's one of the big financial pieces that is missing with HHS, is that while they have a lot more resources out there, they have a lot more they have a lot more breadth of issues that they have to deal with, and I don't think Pearl got the best kind of information on a timely basis that she needed in order to run her program, and I hope that's what she finds that she gets having a smaller organization like us. Does that answer your question?
I guess in a way, but I guess I'm you know, the state auditors, and I guess some of it's, you know, what's your impression? What do the state auditors want from us you know, if the commission was part of HHS, I guess would just automatically take place? I mean, what does the state auditors want us to do, and that, you know, what did they see was the deficiency? I mean, obviously they didn't think we were getting, you know, enough part of the loop in the numbers, but
yeah, let me speak to that. They did say to us that it's not this commission or this board that they think isn't as involved enough. They think that most boards aren't involved enough in the fiscal management of various agencies. And, you know, whether or not, I mean, there's no law that says that you must be. I think that it's really a judgment call on the part of the entity as a whole, the board in partnership with the staff to, you know, decide what's the best mix for this so that there's not, you know, you all are volunteers and to spend the amount of time you'd have to spend to really micromanage the budget, you know, would be very time consuming, plus then it would be micromanaging. So there's two aspects to that. There are some boards that have one or two members that are really fiscally, you know, they like that kind of thing, and so they do get very involved and can give some good advice. But other boards who really don't want anything to do with, you know, just tell me what you're spending and we'll, you know, we'll jump in if there seems to be problems. So I do think that it's not a given that you any board must do these things. I believe that it's a good idea for you to be to at least have the information in front of you on a regular basis so that you can periodically, and you might even say randomly, be very much looking at where is the money going. You know, are there things that we really should ask about or put some clamps on to help prevent a director who might not be, you know, really ethical or honest, and just to make sure that none of those things happen. Or maybe even incompetent. You know, not every, you could have a director that's great on programming, but that doesn't have a sense at all about the dollars. And so things can get out of hand pretty quickly if there is a communication. So what I believe the auditor's intent is that the commission board can serve as a check and balance to make sure that things are run in a way that's as it should be. Now, I don't know if an auditor would say it differently, but that's to me what I heard from them. And if I know that you regularly have the materials, and I don't know if you pour over every line every time or every 3.5 months, then that helps to reinforce. Of course, we would anyway, but you know, it helps to reinforce that the agency would be administered in the correct way every month, and not, you know, try to get away with things, or I don't know how. I mean, there's a piece of it that has to do with that.
Well, they have to be educated too. Sometimes I recall that they used to come into our offices up there, and we had these judgments that were still on appeal, and they'd call those accounts receivable. Why haven't you collected these accounts receivable? We can't collect these accounts receivable because they're not account receivables. Well, what are they? You have their money coming into the highway department. Why don't you collect? Well, they're on appeal. You know, that went on for years.
Yes, thank you, Bill. That is a very good example.
They don't know.
You know, there were a couple of things that they either commented on or took issue with in ours, and we knew it was different. And one had to do with the leave time or payroll issues. And they, in fact, it was correct the way that it had been done. And so we did. We, you know, discussed that and gave them more information, and they checked further with personnel. And yeah, that turned out to be that we were correct to start with. I think this is one that it's wise to have some understanding of the budget. Definitely it's wise to know what the different things are that we're working on. Connie, I think that's just, you know, but that you can still use your own judgment as to just how heavily you would want to get involved. Does that help? I mean, mm-hmm. To me it's really your judgment call. and mine in a way too, if there are times when I really need, you know, I'm not so sure what Bill's doing is on target, but I depend on him for those monies. This is hypothetical. He's over there worried. But I might, you know, want to sit down with you and ask you to, let's take a really close look at something here. And you know, so to me, that's really the issue.
This is Daryl. So what you're saying then, we don't have to be financial wizards or experts on this, you know, they just recommend that we, you know, or, you know, as long as we kind of, you know, as a board, look at this stuff, or, you know, I know the basics of what's going on, but finances is not my big area. So basically, as long as we are, you know, in the loop and have access to the information and have some idea what's going on, we're okay.
I believe that to be true. Now, I think if the auditor were sitting here and, you know, they probably would say, no, you really have to be on top of this. But I don't see any law or regulation that says it, so.
Because, I mean, if being a financial expert is a prerequisite to a commissioner, I'm not sure I want to be one, because I don't
pretend
to know that stuff at all.
That's right.
No, I think that it is you guys' job to make me, Pearl and I, responsible, okay? And if you're not feeling comfortable, if you're not feeling right about what you're hearing, then it's certainly up to you guys to ask those questions and confront us with those kinds of issues. Because it really is our job to make sure that you're you know, again, you don't have to understand how all the rules and all the accounting rules and all those sorts of things work, but it certainly is up to us to make sure that that we can answer the questions that you might have about those things.
Makes sense.
So this might be a good point to segue into Sahara's part. We can go back to questions if there's time after, but I would like to do the switching now. Also, a few people came in, and could we have those introduce themselves?
Barbara Lowe's. I got here about 9:15, and I apologize for being late. Before we start, Sahara, can I ask a question?
Sure.
I have Dell XP. But when I try to open some of these attachments, sometimes it will tell me that I do not have a file associated with that.
Do you have Microsoft Office, Nancy?
I don't know. I don't think. I think it's just Microsoft Works, maybe.
Yes, that's why you cannot open those sheets if you don't have Microsoft Excel. I don't really know of any way, an efficient way
they
to open
it. They won't do it. So.
Right, if you don't have Office, which has Microsoft Excel, Microsoft Word.
So probably I should look into doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we
that answer that one?
Okay. 2001-2006.
Sit on the desktop.
All right.
He's getting it.
Did it open?
Okay, well, they'll know if they hear it.
Takes a while.
Okay, let's see.
Do you need me to help?
Is ours talking?
I think it was.
I don't know yet. It's trying to activate.
This one's starting after the other.
06 budget, October, $28,085.81. November, $85,072.56. December, $142,059.31.
A bunch of numbers, you might want to go to the top.
For sale, John's instructions will be taken at month settings are in row 1. Data settings are in column A, 0 data in column B, rows 9, 17, 39, and 54, not at relevant data. John's instructions will dictate that month settings are in row 1. Data settings are in column A, 0 data in column B, rows 9, 17, 39, and 54, not at relevant data. October, November, December, January.
We have to redo it.
All right. I'm sorry.
We just shut it off.
Well, I don't know if we really want to reboot, but maybe we could just pass the one keyboard down.
And you know, if you started in 40 minutes more, we'd probably have time. I thought it was going to take 40 minutes.
No.
Just say yeah.
Okay. And that should be.
So yeah, if we just reboot.
Okay. So what do we do?
Do we have to start and shut down?
Let's try it again.
Annual birth data region, percentage of expenditure year to date birth, divided by total year slash grant.
There it is.
$5,730.25.
That's the column number.
Okay.
$184,319.64.
So hard to.
That's okay. Not seeing it for some reason.
I appreciate the patience of the people listening to the tape. Although this could be seen as frustrating, I hope you'll consider it as, you know, a
time to eat coffee cake.
Yeah, eat coffee cake.
If it doesn't activate, just hit the OK button and it should work in 40-minute mode.
What's that?
Barb, I just want to comment for the record and on tape, the tape machine has stopped on me a couple times last year.
What I do is I'll go back through 2001, 2002, 2003, all the previous fiscal years and say, tell me what percentage of the money that we spent during the entire year, how much of that did we spend through April of that year, okay? To get an idea, to gauge, not necessarily in dollars, but to gauge on a percentage basis, because what amount of money we have spent as compared to the entire year, okay? Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does, but how do you find that?
Can that go in the same cell, by chance?
It goes, well, actually, I don't know how to do two formulas in a cell. I think I can only do one formula in a cell, and so that's where, again, I go to that column, and I'm not, I'm gonna scroll here just a little bit on you.
Oh, God, don't confuse me.
it's in column P, okay, and column P is where the percentages, if you will, are.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Like, okay, if I didn't know that, if you weren't here to tell me, I'm going to go to row 2. I went down. I just went control home. Then I went down. Okay, he's telling me the years and he's giving me. So I'm going to hit control right arrow to see if there's more. There's percentages here, so I wonder. I just went up arrow. After I hit control right arrow, it took me to the percentages because it said. Okay. I wonder if that data is up above, and I didn't know that, so I just went up. And that's what it told me when I hit up arrow. Sometimes what's going to happen, you're going to actually have to see what's in a certain row by hitting the control right arrow and going to the edge.
So,
how do you know when to do the just the up arrow and the control up arrow?
It's pretty much, that's not going to sound right, but for me it's a shot in the dark because I don't know for sure how the sheet is laid out when I get it. So I always go to the top because I know, okay, I need to see what's at the top. And that gave me the JAWS instructions. Then I hit the right arrow and it said blank. Well, when I hear blank, I want to see if, is there any more on this row? So I'm going to hit control right arrow. Okay, there are my dates. I wonder. So I'm hitting right arrow and hearing November, December, January. Does Bill have more data on this? So I'm going to hit control right arrow. Ah, he does. Percentages of something or other. And that there's a blank column. I just hit right arrow. So is there more? Control right arrow. Q1. And when it says IV1, I know that's it. I have the percentages and I have the dates on this row. Did that make sense?
But so you get to the percentages
by hitting control right arrow.
That's the right edge.
Yeah. That's the next right edge. Yeah.
So, but it had column to column and had each month, October, November,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. And then after it went through all the months in dollar, then it went through all the months in percentage.
The percentages are in the next set of columns. It's to the right of October. And I wonder.
And actually, I only put one column in there for percentage. Each month, I recalculate that and make that formula be the last month that that we were dealing with. So each month, I change that formula in the percentage of the year. I change that so that it goes, well, last month is April, the month before that was March, and I make that formula, read those dates, and I just copy it down so that it's consistent throughout that column.
So it's a running percentage each month?
Yeah.
And not just what that month's percentage is?
Right.
Right. We're almost out of time for the focus topic. One of the things I wanted to say is that, you know, if any commissioner wants to have a home teacher come and meet with you to work on some of these things, either a home teacher or a technology specialist, kind of depending on where you're located and so on and who's available. You know, I'm not saying we would set you up as a client, but as a part of our governing board, you need to have the skills that you want to work on. So, well, again, the attempt today was to give a very brief introduction to, actually, you know, some